Good morning, brethren. The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Psalm 130. Psalm 130. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Psalm 130. Out of the depth I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Thank you for that reading, Missy. Thanks for the song. Thanks for that well word of prayer. Brethren, good morning again. Good to see everyone. We do have a great audience this morning. Something how the spring fall brings everybody out. It's good to see everyone. The flu bug is out there, but hopefully that we're all well with that. We still do have quite a number that are asking because of illness and other things that are involved. Let's do continue to remember those in our prayers as we can do what we can do for those that need us. But it's good to see everyone. And worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We do want to go to heaven here when we pass on. We're glad that you're here. John chapter 19. I want us to think about this morning as we begin the lesson. John chapter 19, I want us to focus our minds on what John says. I want to look at verse 28. John chapter 19, verse 28. He says, "And this Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, to fulfill Scripture, said, I'm thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit." You know, it's not uncommon as we engage in worship service, as we sing the songs that we sing and the prayers are uttered that they're uttered. It's not uncommon for us to begin to think about the sacrifice of our Lord. In fact, I think if you didn't think about Jesus, if you didn't think about the sacrifice, especially when you surround the table, I think that your worship, I would question the spirit that you're in, because I would think that would be an uncommon thing. I think that's naturally what the motive, the thing behind when we worship God together. We begin thinking about those things. Thinking about the thing that we just read here in John. This morning I want to maybe think about that sacrifice, maybe think about what was done there, maybe in a little different angle than what you may not always think about. And not only what God wants us to do, but I think sometimes we overlook this idea about maybe what we should do, and I'm talking about this angle of forgiveness and how we should react to the things, really just what we just read. And what I want us to focus on is the idea to forgive. And this is John's account here of the Lord's death, but I want us to look, as we're thinking about these things, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says in verse 3, he says, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture." Now, this, Christ died for our sins, this is the main focus of the gospel. This is the focal point that Paul wants us to know, Paul wants us to think about. And may I say to that most people in the world, they don't think about it. In fact, I would wager to say that most people in the world could care less about that. It's of no consequence to them that Jesus died on the cross. I don't know if that's a good way to say it, of no consequence. Certainly it will be a consequence to them, but it doesn't mean anything to them. And there's a concern there that if we don't concentrate on some things, if we don't meditate upon some things, if we don't focus on some things, I think maybe as well, maybe we need to be careful Because what Christ did, in that He died for us, in that He died for the forgiveness of our sins. You think about that, Mother. We think about that. All of that is tremendously, I think, significant to the person who really understands and really thinks about what all that means. And if you're sitting here this morning and really with what's just been read and what I've said, if you're thinking, ho-hum, you know, it's no big deal, then really you're the one I want to talk about. And you're the one that I want you to hear this lesson. And actually, Jesus dying on the cross and Jesus dying for your sins is, I can't think of anything else that's a bigger deal. That's the biggest deal I know of. It is the most important thing that there is. But yet people disregard that. People don't look at that. People don't think about that, especially on a daily basis. But and really when that happens, that just throws this, what Paul said, really back in the face of God. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, there are folks here in the audience that you know, how do you feel about somebody that does something for you that can't do for yourself? And again, there's folks here in the audience that have come over to the house and they've done things for me, whether I request it or don't request it. They've come over and done things that I don't have the knowledge to do, I don't have the ability to do, but yet they come over there willingly to do for me what I can't do for myself. And I think about that. And really, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3, what that does, that's that idea only in its greatest sense. That's magnified a million times as we're looking at what Paul is talking about. And so my question is, how do we value what Christ did for us? Do we think about that? I want us to think about the price of forgiveness, the cost of forgiveness. I want us to have a greater appreciation for that. I want us to meditate on, what God has done for us. Now to do that, let's ask a couple of questions. And again, this is all just from thinking about it, but and maybe we've asked, why did Jesus have to die? Did you ever think about that? I've asked that question. Why did Jesus have to die? I mean, the major issue here, you look at the fact that Jesus did die for us. Yeah, He died for us, and Paul says, well, that's the first important. That's number one. But why did He have to die? Jesus died, but why did He have to die? Why couldn't God just say, just if you're really, really sorry, why couldn't God just accept that? Listen, Jeff, if you're really, really sorry for what you did, I'm going to forgive you. Why couldn't God just do that? Why couldn't God just forgive us? And I don't say that flippantly. I don't mean that. But why couldn't God just say, I think that's a legitimate question. And I don't know if I had the right to ask that question, but I've asked that question in my mind. Why all this cross business? Why did He do that? Why did God do that? Why put your own son to death? Why put Him through the cross? Why create that whole thing? Why go through all that? And instead of asking those questions as being legit, why didn't God just say, if you're sorry, I forgive you, Why did God have to kill God? Why? And that's really what happened. When you think about that, and why did a father have to kill a son? Why did that happen? And I'll tell you, there's some people out there that reject the cross altogether because of that. Because this is some kind of divine child abuse. Yeah. If I did that, what Jesus and God did, and you think about that, well, I'd be arrested. And I'd be put in jail. But think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, look what he says. He says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Now you mark that down, but to those who are saved, Paul says, what does he say about that? He says, that is the power of God. How is that? Alright? And we weren't there. We didn't see that. We didn't see what Paul's talking about. But every Lord's Day somebody comes here and talks about it. And we remember that. We talk about it here. We discuss it here. But I want you to know, and I want you to remember the fact that God could not leave the cross out. Now, in order for us to have forgiveness, that had to be done. And I think about that. The fact that God couldn't leave the cross out. And I think in that, there's an aspect of that that we don't think about. And that has to do with forgiveness. When I say forgiveness, real forgiveness. And I have to say that real forgiveness is really what that's costly suffering. Real forgiveness, mark that down. It's costly suffering. You know, you want to think about that. And I'll use an economic illustration. If you have your friend comes over to your house and borrows a car, and you give him the keys, or he or she backing out of the car, backing out of the driveway, and they hit your wall. You have this nice wall, 10-foot wall, 40-foot long, and you got a gate there, and they crash into that your car. And now they do all kinds of damage to your car, and I would hope that they would get out, and they would be devastated by what they did. They would come out and say, "I'm sorry, I did this," and all of that. You know, I would think they'd laugh about it. But I want to think about in that is that what's your option? What's your options in that situation? Now, you know, you could several things you could do, but the driver could get out, apologize, and say, "You know what? I'm real sorry I did that. I'll pay for whatever it is. I didn't mean to do that. It was an accident." You could say, "You know, it doesn't matter. It's all right. We'll let it go. Don't worry about that. Just let that go. I'll take care of it." Or maybe you could work out some kind of deal where you both could work it out and take care of it. Maybe somebody drove by and seen it and said, "Hey, I've seen what happened. I like you both. I'm going to pay for that." That probably won't happen. But the point is that somebody's going to have to pay. The damage has been done to your property. And what do you do as the person that's been wronged in that situation? What do you do? You're the one that owns the property. You didn't destroy the property, but now it's all damaged and you've been wrong. What do you do? Well, you can make the person that did that, you can choose to make that person suffer. And what you can do, you can withhold the relationship. You can say, "We're done. I'm not going to, you've destroyed my property, so we're not friends anymore." You can do that. Or you could initiate some kind of pain that would be commensurate with what happened to your property. You know, you could go down and if the window's halfway down, you can break your elbow on that glass and, you know, do that a couple times. I don't know how many lengths that would be, but you could do that. Or, you know, you could tarnish their reputation. You could get on Facebook and say, "You'll never get what so-and-so did today, blah, 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 blah." You could do that. There's all kinds of things that you could do that you could ruin the reputation. There's a variety of things that you could do, but based on my experience, I'm not suggesting it to pound anybody, but based on that, what happens to you when you react that way, if you do those things, when something bad happens to you? What's your experience with that? When somebody does you wrong, does it make you feel better when you go to the house and drag them out and just pound them on the ground out there on some porch? Does that work for you? Does that help? Does it make you feel better when somebody has wronged you that you talk about them? Does it make you better? Does it make you feel better when somebody has wronged you that you mar the reputation, that you disown them, that you write them a letter, "We've been friends for 40 years, and all of that"? Or does it destroy you? And think about your own experience. Does it make you harder? Does it make you, as far as that reaction goes, colder, more self-absorbed, self-pitying, all of those things? Isn't that more like the picture that happens when you react in those ways? Now, there's another way to react. How's that? You can forgive them. All right? You can forgive them. And when we talk about this kind of forgiveness is about what? Abolishing. It's about absorbing the debt that's owed you. Now, in doing that, now that's going to take some suffering on your part. That's going to take an emotional toll on your part. It's almost going to be like a type of death on your part, and that might very well be the case. But it's going to happen if you use the forgiveness that I want you to think about. In absorbing that debt, in taking that debt, in involved in that, there's going to be pain in that. But that pain, instead of a lifelong feeling of bitterness, and cynicism, and hate, and you never get rid of it, alright? No, there's going to be reconciliation, there'll be peace, there'll be understanding, and ultimately, all of that. And it is a type of death, it's a type of resurrection. You're not going to get that, though, if you react in the other ways we talked about. The only time you're going to have that peace in that is when you do actually forgive.
has to happen. You have to submit. You have to submit to the costly suffering that takes. That's why so many of us unwilling to forgive. That's why it's hard to forgive. Nobody wants to suffer that kind of suffering in forgiveness. Nobody wants to absorb the debt. No. It's easier to remain bitter and cold and indifferent to someone when they do something to us. And really, forgiveness means bearing the cost. Instead of the wrongdoer bearing the cost, you bear the cost. And really, when we talk about what God and Jesus did, isn't that the picture? Isn't that the big picture? The debt of sin that we owe, all of those things come together, and when he's done that, he's forgiven us. Ask the question again, why did Jesus have to die? Didn't God just forgive him? Huh? No one just forgives. There has to be a penalty. There has to be a penalty of price that is paid in that kind of suffering. Now think about you. Think about you as a sinner. Think about your sin. You suffer because of that. You die. You die because of that. Because of the sin that you're involved in. Have you paid the price for your sin? Have you, in essence, yourself resurrected yourself? No, not me. God has done all of that. God has done all of that for us. So on the cross, what we see is God doing what every one of us should do, or must do. What? Unless he's done it for us. That's the price. That's the penalty. Point there is, do you really see what God has done? It's costly. The cost of forgiveness, the cost of absorbing your debt, the cost, the need that we have to be forgiven, somebody's going to pay the price. Somebody's going to have to pay the price. That's what God did. That's what God did through his Son, Jesus Christ. Everything ultimately goes back to him. When you think about this concept, when you think and meditate about what actually was done on the cross, you know, being made in God's image, you know, I think it's a real game changer for us. And thinking about God and God's character and what God means to us, and as we talk about God and what the scriptures say about God and our image, and we grow to understand him, and we grow to understand in him that what he did in suffering for the debt of which we owe him, and you know what? In all of that, he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to do the same thing as his creatures, as his creation. We understand that. We understand that we want to be like him. We want to do as he did, and we want to do what he asked us. And that's the same thing. And what he asked us is that we forgive each other. That we forgive. Somebody says, that's hard to do. That is hard to do. You think for a second to what God and Jesus Christ did, you think that was difficult to do? You think that might have been a measure of difficulty there? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that? And when, as you're thinking about that, what came to my mind was Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. I guess you could consummate all of these things in that God showed mercy to us. That's what he did. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, he says, blessed are the merciful for what? For poor. Well, you can quote that. They're going to receive mercy. I want you to think about that. Why is that important to us? Because that's what God did. God was showing us that when a debt is owed, somebody's got to pay a price. That's what God said. Somebody had to suffer to correct the wrong. That's what that is. And God has shown us that in his Son by what they did. So when Jesus came, knowing what he was going through, and he began teaching those that are citizens in his kingdom and the Sermon on the Mount, and all those admonitions and all those things and all those conclusions that he has and all those things that are written out in the kingdom command. And we draw those admonitions out of that. All that is setting us to do what? Be like God. And folks, I'm telling you, we need to be merciful. We need to be merciful. We need to show mercy. We need to be a forgiving people as we serve God. Aren't you thankful? I think about this a lot, been said a lot, but I'm real thankful that God doesn't give me what I deserve. I really am. And I hope you are too. How good are you? How good are you compared to God? I don't think there's a word for that. There's no answer to that. We're sinful, and what could happen to us is that we should receive the death penalty, that we should be severed from Him, but it's not given to us because God is merciful, and He forgives us. And every time we gather around this table, we think about that occasion. We think about all that was done. And we say, you know, we remember the things that God has done for us. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. And we need to think about that. We need to think about what God has done for us. And the act itself, what God did. Not only do we recognize the act of mercy that He did, but also recognize the fact that that's my obligation too. That I need to show that same kind of mercy. And I need to show that same kind of forgiveness. If we don't, bitterness, cynicism, not good. Not good for a child of God to be that way. I know an older couple. They have 3 children. And we know 2 of their children fairly well. We ran into them not too long ago. And, you know, after a few hellos and everything, we asked about the one son that we know about. And she looked at me like, why in the world are you asking that? And why wouldn't I ask that? And the response was, we're estranged from him. And after a while, we put a couple things together and we realized what the problem was. But at least from my vantage point, at least one of those parties, and that's the son, has made the decision in his mind not to give. And to hold whatever's going on and not take, not absorb the debt. And not be willing to forgive. And I thought about that this week. You know, I didn't have to ask what the problem was. I knew. And that is a problem. And that is an unwillingness on his part. And you talk about an earthly relationship, as far as the family goes, is as close as any, at least early on. Now it's not happening. Now I say this as kind of as I know how. I think that happens to people in all relationships. Maybe not mother, son, different things like that. But I know that I probably have said something that some of you may be involved in or maybe be dealing with. Maybe not so much the relationship. But the problem is the same. The problem is between you and maybe somebody else. And I'll tell you what, it will destroy you if something's not done about it. And sometimes that something can be very hard. But it still needs to be done. Aren't you thankful that I said that God doesn't give me what I deserve? He paid the price. He paid the cost. He suffered the shame. I don't know in your handout how I got Isaiah chapter 2, verse 58. But that's Isaiah 52, chapter 52, verse 14. This is a messianic passage. I want you to look at it. Isaiah 52, verse 14. He says, behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted, just as many of you were astonished, my people. So his appearance, talking about Jesus, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the son of men. You know, what that tells me, what happened to Jesus Christ is something that we need to think about. And it's something that we need to consider. And turn to Psalm chapter 22. More of these passages, and again, there's all kinds of those. I want to look, as we consider the suffering of Jesus, look at verse 1. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? For my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. You know, I look at this passage, and my perspective about this passage is simply, I don't think God was abandoning his son, but I think Jesus felt that. And I think we can understand that. He's crying out. He's crying out to God, why have you forsaken me? And this is my mind. It appears that the Lord doesn't care, that God doesn't care, but we know that he did. Because 3 days later, he raised him from the dead. I know that he cares, but before all of that, he had to suffer. Look on down through the chapter. Look at verse 14. I am poured out like water. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength has dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death, where dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. None of us is there. There's no video footage of this. There's no play-by-play on the radio of this. If something this dramatic would happen today, you know, there'd be all kinds of documentation about something like this happening. And when we read these prophecies in Psalms and the gospel accounts, talk about these prophecies being fulfilled. We talk about a lot of them in Bible study. What's the best we can say about that? Why did God have to do that? Why did God put His own Son through that? Why? You know my answer? It's because somebody had to suffer. And God was merciful enough that it wasn't you. And it wasn't me. We need to think about that. And you know what? If that's not enough for us to say, just that on a regular basis, I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow Him. If that's not enough, then you're unwilling to have the ability that you need to have to see that what has been done in all of His suffering. Forgiveness is costly suffering. Forgiveness is costly suffering. Jesus did that. There's another point. John 3:16. That's another lesson, but I just want to make this point. I want you to know why God did that. I want you to know the reason why God did that. John 3:16, the famous verse, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And may I add, His Son to suffer as He did. He said, and He did that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish. Whoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life, eternity, or this would say, have everlasting life. God did that because He cared enough to do that. God did that. And I don't think we talk about that enough. We talk about God. We talk about the characteristics of God. We talk all about that, the fear of God. But folks, God loves you. God loves you, and He wants you to be saved. That's the God that we serve. And you know, not only does He want to be saved, but He was willing to have His Son die. He was willing to have that happen. He was willing that His Son not just die, but suffer and pay the price. To pay the price that had to do with your guilt and your debt. I need to be a Christian. I'm telling you, that needs to humble me. And I need to think about what that means to me. Daily. Every day. Well, there's a song, and this is a secular song. It's not any song. It's by the Eagles. Don Henley. And I'm not sure when the song was written, but the last time I heard it, Don Henley was with the Eagles. But it's called, the song is called Heart of the Matter. And part of the lyrics is this. He says, I've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter. But everything changes, and my friends seem to scatter. But I think it's about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Even if you don't love me anymore. It doesn't take a lot of time. There's no probably thing about a failed relationship with another woman that I really haven't asked him. If I get the chance, I'll ask him what it's about. But then when I last heard him do this, he prefaced it with this. He said, it took me 42 years to write the words of that song. 42 years. But it just took me 4 minutes to sing. And what I think he was saying about that is it took me 42 years to understand, to be willing to forgive. It took me 42 years to understand what it meant to suffer the death. It took me 42 years to consider the cost and to consider that it was worth the cost. To understand that. I think that's what he meant. And ultimately, it took me 42 years to understand that if he did that and pursued that, he'd be a lot better person for it. I think that's his point. 42 years of his life to figure that out. Please get your phone book out. I think what he said, I think that's a hard concept for us to understand. I really do. So today, really, I want you to accomplish just a couple of things out of this lesson. I'd like for us to understand. I'd like for us to understand why we need to be a forgiving people. And the reason is because God is. God's merciful. I need to be merciful. And I think, secondly, looking at this, I think we need to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done. I think it needs to humble us what Jesus Christ did. And why he did it. I hope that keeps in your mind. I hope that's something that keeps in my mind. If you're here this morning and have never obeyed the gospel, today's a great day. You're outside of Christ, today you can be in Christ. You can be a Christian. Jesus said, "Who believes and is baptized shall be saved." If you have something that has marred you publicly, a sin that is known, you need to repent of it publicly. In the prayers of the elders, we will pray for you. God will forgive you. Please come. After the other, we stand and sing the invitation song.